Sport and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's find out about a fascinating trip to Zimbabwe, which Bruce Grobbelaar recently undertook. We got Ragnhild Lund-Asnes. I think that's the best I've ever pronounced it.
I think that's great.
Top Good Liverpool morning. Author. Of course, author of Liverpool Captains as well. She's in. She's writing Bruce's autobiography. But this trip to Zimbabwe was particularly pertinent, wasn't it? Give us the background to it, Ragnhild.
Well, for the last year, I've been lucky enough to collect all Bruce Grobbelaar's personal stories. I've gone through his whole life with him over several periods of work hours. And then to finish all our interviews off, we wanted to go back to his roots. We wanted to talk about his time being a soldier in the bush for Rhodesia back in the days. Some stories that... But we wanted to do that in Africa, and we wanted to go back to his childhood roots and really talk about who he is, for people to really understand his choices and the way he's been living his life. You need to understand where he's coming from, and it's quite a special background, I have to say, for a footballer in Premier League. And so we had to go to South Africa. He was banned from Zimbabwe, so we were only going to go to South Africa.
When was he banned from Zimbabwe?
Well, this was 11 years ago. Mugabe himself personally called Bruce. He was living in South Africa and managing a team there at the time. And he called, Mugabe called while Bruce was in the shower. So his wife picked up the phone, and in the other end, there was a voice saying, "This is Mugabe. Can I talk to Mr. Bruce Grobbelaar, please?" And she just responded, "Well, I'm Tina Turner. Have a good day," and hung up on him.
That's actually what happened, was it?
Yes. So he called up again and convinced her that this was the right. Mugabe calling, the dictator of Zimbabwe. And he got Bruce on the phone and offered him to be head of Zimbabwe's national football team. Where Bruce said, "Yeah, I'd love to do that. But if I do, you have to pay me in pounds or American dollars, because the Zimbabwe currency I can't take out of the country and can't use to anything." So, and he also said, "But you can't, if you pay me in that currency, you're not allowed to do what you do with all the other footballers' foreign currency, steal it." And then Mugabe got really cross with him and said, "Okay, you do not need, you can't return to Zimbabwe. Don't bother returning." So he didn't get to renew his passport, and he was actually expelled from his own country for
an incredible turnaround. 11 years ago.
So I know.
From a conversation where he's asking him to be part of something really significant for the country,
he was thrown out.
All of a sudden he can't come back to it.
Which is probably something that has been returning in Bruce Grobbelaar's life when I look back on it now. His honesty, his direct, brave honesty, has got him into quite some trouble over the years. But it was quite amazing, you know, running up towards our trip to Africa to return to his roots and talk about what shaped him to the person he is. And then Mugabe lost his power. In late November, he had to resign. He was forced to resign from a peaceful coup with the military, which made, all of a sudden, Bruce able to return to his country, which was the perfect ending of our autobiography. The president himself, the new president, spoke to Bruce and invited him back. And not only that, they even gave him an ambassadorial title because they know how important Bruce is for Zimbabwe.
And, how important to Bruce was it to go back?
You know, it was so moving. From the first step we put on Zimbabwean ground in the sunset. I think we all had tears in our eyes, actually. From the first second he stepped into his land, you know, it's been 11 years where he hasn't been able to go back to his dear Zimbabwe. And just, you know, he just said, "Oh, just the smell again. I can't describe it. It's just that smell. I've missed that smell so much." And people would embrace him straight away. As we walked off this little aircraft flying in from Johannesburg into Harare, people would just hug him.
Still a recognisable face, still very much in the mindset of Zimbabweans.
He is a superhero in the world's proper word. You know, it's everywhere we went, people would hug him. They would run after him, shouting with a big smile on their face. Jungle Man, you're back. Come and save our football, please. Jungle Man, the best goalie ever for Zimbabwe. It was just incredible. We went, one of the things we had to do was to try to chase up his new Zimbabwean passport because he hasn't got a Zimbabwean passport anymore. And it was such a run-down state office. You wouldn't believe it. It was so dark and dirty in there. And even in the darkest, dirtiest corridors, people would lit up, you know. This guy with just one leg, he would just limp towards him and embrace him. And can I have a photo? Oh, my goodness, this is my biggest hero. Everywhere we went. And also when we spoke to quite a lot of the governmental officials, because we did a lot of lobbying as well while we were over. They love him so much, and they can't even start describing how much he means to the country as a figurehead, as an inspiration, as a living piece of history for their country. It was so moving.
And Bruce is the sort of person that would give time to each and every one, isn't he? He's a very sort of open character.
Every single person got his time. You should have seen it. You know, if we just stopped at a red light, the boys who were selling whatever they could sell to make a little bit of a living would just run after the car, and he would roll down the window and greet everyone. It was just so moving.
What sort of state is Zimbabwe in now after the Mugabe regime had been in power for so long and it's gone through this transition so very recently? Is it a poor, run-down country?
Yeah,
is it in need of some more heroes?
You know, this is definitely a country in need of hope and heroes and people that can help the country rebuild their reputation and their hope and the future, really. It was a country on its knees, literally on its knees, after the longest-serving dictator in Africa, 37 years. The streets in the city centre of Harare are just bumpy dirt roads. The school, we went back to Bruce Grobbelaar's old primary school, David Livingston. Today it's got 1,300 students in this tiny school. It's a state school where the state doesn't give them any money. It's all run on whatever donations parents
give. So it's not properly equipped.
Not even state schools get anything from the government. It's just so run down, the whole country. But at the same time, it was amazing to come back there now, just a bit over a month after Mugabe lost power, where the country is now slowly trying to find its feet again. And everywhere we went, there was just so much hope, but still a lot of skepticism, because, you know, after being under the thumb of a man for that long, you can't just think that the next second everything will be fine again. And also, the new president has got a reputation from his army days, so they're all waiting to see. And that's why a sportsman that is totally free of all political and religious sort of baggage is such an important figurehead at the moment.
I was talking with Bruce before you went out, and he was explaining to me how the president had rung him.
Yeah.
And said, "Jungle Man, is that you?" Which I think is absolutely hysterical. This idea of a president, he's probably got Bruce in his phone as Jungle Man.
Yeah, probably, actually.
Where does this stem from, this Jungle Man thing?
The Jungle Man's nickname came from back in the days when Bruce was one of the very few white people playing in the Black League in Rhodesia. And he played so well. You know, that's what one guy said to him, "You, white man, you play like a black man. You play like a jungle man." And from that day, he got that nickname. And it was just such an amazing finish to our trip, too. We were sitting outside in this tiny little spot that was outside of Johannesburg Airport eating. And Bruce ordered this traditional African meal. Because I refused to go in. I did not want to miss any sunshine because, you know, we were returning to this weather that we've got outside here now. And after we had eaten, he ate with his hands like they do. You know, you got this pudding kind of thing. You dip in sauce and you just eat with your hands. And then afterwards, this waiter, who was Zimbabwean, a lot of Zimbabwean has escaped over to South Africa over the years. So all the staff was Zimbabwean. And one by one, they came and had a picture taken with him after our meal. And then the waiter came over to us afterwards and said, "We've all been admiring you, a white man eating like a black man with his hands, like a proper African." And Bruce looks up at him and he says, "What do you mean? I am a proper African. I'm not a white man. I'm an African." And that was just such a beautiful ending to our trip.
Sport can do so much, can't it, for countries. And Bruce obviously wants to get involved again, doesn't he, out there? What sort of difference could a football team that does really well or makes an impact have for Zimbabwe? And how much would Bruce love to be part of something like that?
Just look at South America, for example. Just look at even quite a few areas of England where you have high unemployment, where the football team is so important to be the carrier of your dreams. And for a country on its knees like Zimbabwe to have a team like that, that raise the statue and the hope of Zimbabwe and give the country some pride again after everything that's been going on nationally on the news now has been negativity, and conflict and noise. And then to just get some positivity coming out of a country to start building pride within is so important. And Bruce would love to, you know, he loves his country to bits. He is a Zimbabwean through and through. Okay, he was born in Durban, but he was only a few months when him and his family moved to Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, back in the days. And this country built him to who he is today, and he would love to help his country, and he thinks about it every day. And at the moment, he's got this title given by the new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and he's given him the title, the Secretary for Environment and Tourism for ZANU, Zimbabwean African National Union Patriotic Front for North America.
It's very official, isn't it, for Bruce?
Some long title there. So the country and the new government is completely aware of how much his status as such a big figurehead for Zimbabwe can make a difference, really. What the country needs now is actually people that will trust the country to invest in it. And they hope that Bruce Grobbelaar, with his network and his status internationally, can help the country get proper and serious investors to rebuild the country.
Some proper change. Right, for the past year, you become immersed in Bruce Grobbelaar, naturally, as you're writing his autobiography, which I believe at the moment is virtually there, isn't it? It's just going through its legal processes and what have you.
Well, you know, I've got so much material. You know, this will be...
Oh, so you haven't actually finished it completely?
No. It's going to come out in September, I think it's due.
Wow.
Another couple of months now to reshape and shape and trim down the Kill Your Darlings business, which is the hardest for a writer because, you know, when you've got so much amazing material, to actually be able to cut down on that is so hard. And
what you get rid of. Where's your journey taken you as you followed Bruce?
Well, I've been to Canada to see
where
him
he lives
there.
Now.
Yeah, that's where he lives at the moment. And then I've seen him a lot in Liverpool, and now... We went to Zimbabwe, we went to Johannesburg, we went to the border between South Africa and Zimbabwe to his lodge, him and his wife's lodge, in a game resort, and we played some golf there. Well, I didn't play golf, I just admired him.
Followed him.
He's a decent golfer, I tell you what. And we went to the Wild Coast, to East London, where he found himself after a really dark period, after all the match-fixing allegations and... starting all over again after his divorce. It was a tough time in his life. And we sat at the exact same restaurant where the ocean comes into this beautiful white beach and talked through how he rebuilt himself as a person and how he started all over again.
How did it affect him? I know we haven't got loads of time.
And I won't give away too much at the moment.
No, because you've got a book to come out.
But he's a strong character. I mean, if you've survived being just four people in the bush, four in a stick, in the bush for a year and a half, which is an extreme, extreme thing to do. And if you hear his stories then, you'll realize that anything is possible afterwards. And surviving that war back in the days has made him such a strong character. And one thing with Bruce that I've learned that I think is so admiring is how he has got such a good sense of humor and self-irony. And he's such a generous and present guy, you know. So many of us live in the past or in the future, and he's a very nostalgic man, yes. But he's so loyal and he's so true to everything he does. And that has probably helped him through. And he has had some massive hurdles to pass along his lifeline. But
has it given you a completely different perspective of the man? You know, your,
absolutely.
What you thought of Bruce before you started writing the book and where you're at now?
You know, if you see him from a distance, he's a bit of, in England, he's a little bit of a clown. You know, he's that fun, crazy character, the clown who walked on his hands and warmed up under an umbrella. Now I just see so much more, you know. I see much more the jungle man, you know, the brave man who can live and survive anything, but a man who would always go a marathon and a half for the ones he loves, and that is first and foremost his three daughters.
Ragnhild, brilliant to have you in again. Your book, Liverpool Captains, is still one of the best books that's been out in the last couple of years.
Oh,
it's fantastic. Still doing well, is it?
Yes, it's amazing. It's such an honour.
Yeah, completely. And I see you're still doing bits with John Barnes and Phil Thompson and audiences with the guys and take them over to Scandinavia as well. So obviously you're still enjoying that. And the lads probably enjoy their trips out there as well, don't they?
We have a laugh, that's for sure.
Right, so as soon as that book's written, Ragnar will come back in, I'm sure, with Bruce, and we'll do some publicity later in the year on it. But fascinating to get some insight on that return to Zimbabwe.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. Radio City Talk.